Today on the dark side of a mom who fatally abused Make-A-Wish daughter, sentenced to 16 years in prison. A nurse who allegedly struck a coworker with a wrench, lit her on fire, is found dead. And a millionaire and longtime fugitive, Peter Chadwick, pleads guilty to strangling and drowning wife in 2012. Those stories and more today on the dark side of...
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the dark side of...
That it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our episodes. New ones every single Monday, Tuesday, and Friday here at the dark side of. And of course, if you want extra stuff, you want commercial-free episodes, check out our Patreon page. Search Dark Side Of on Patreon or go to darksidepod.com. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode. What's going on?
Hey, friend. How are you?
It's another day.
Right
here on the
another
Brisky
day
compound.
Of me being the only one in the planet on the planet watching the Olympics.
You are still the only one. I've not turned it on. I'm not anti-Olympic. I just haven't watched it. I don't know.
I think the same thing happened last summer too. I think I was like one of the only people watching it.
Yeah, I didn't even. I didn't watch anything.
Yeah. There's something about it. I just get like all sucked into it.
I used to when I was a kid. It was like something. I don't know. I don't know. It needs something for people. Just don't care about it the way that they used to. It used to be a really big thing. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know why we don't have an interest in it, considering the level of interest that we have in sports.
Well, speak for yourself.
Well, yes. Statistically,
but
it's
we
so
were
down.
Just talking about it, that it's very strange. They were doing the men's there was a skiing event,
yeah,
and it was right by, and I thought it was just like, oh, that's weird, that looks like an old nuclear power plant.
Yeah,
wonder what that is. And it happens to be an old you just told me that.
Yeah.
It actually is an old nuclear power plant,
and now it's like shops and stuff, and it's like, but it still looks like a nuclear power, it looks like a nuclear silo. And
like,
it's,
what did they do with all of the rods and stuff? They just like,
I don't know.
We'll just throw them over here.
Yeah. Who knows? That's the mystery question. But it's the most dystopian photo I've ever seen. And I saw this online. I thought it was a fake photo at first. I'm like, no, this looks like something from The Onion. Where I'm like, and then I'm reading captions of like, could it look any more end of the world than this? And I'm just like, shit. And I Googled, I'm like, oh my God, this is real. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many times a week now where I'm looking at a headline going, that's funny. Thinking like, this is a really sick sense of humor or something. Like, oh my God, this is a real story. It's like, what the hell? I don't know.
I had no idea.
We're like in a parallel universe or something. There's something weird going on here. I don't know. I never thought of those sort of things, but I don't know. There's just too many, like, what is happening? Things that just seem just, I don't know, just too ironically bizarre.
But, well, especially considering they're in China.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just, I don't know. That's just so funny to me. I had no idea that is what I was looking at. Well, I just thought it was strange. What a weird backdrop. Like, didn't they have any other place to put that?
For a country that is always so concerned with their optics, you know, who the fuck planned this? I mean, who said, let's put the ski slope over here, then let's put the logo of the Olympics on one of the silos? Like, is this a joke? Like, what are we doing? I mean, there's got to be other places. Who greenlit that? I mean, I'm wondering if that's going to be one of those where it's like, well, whoever did greenlit it is now dead. If, you know, their leader is like, you know, they got to know that's bad optics. And I wonder if they just didn't you know, they were trusting people to do things certain ways. I don't know, but it's fucked up.
I don't know, but he might be looking at it going, that looks awesome.
Maybe.
Or whatever they would say in Chinese. I don't think that's what he would say.
No.
But maybe it had to have been intentional.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just wondering if there's like some communication breakdown between a group that thought this was a great idea and then the group that would say, no, you shouldn't do that. And it just went forward anyhow. I don't know. It just seems fucking bizarre. Of all the spots, that is just so dystopian and dark.
I totally agree.
It's weird. It's just weird. Let's go to our first story of the day. A mom who fatally abused a Make-A-Wish daughter sentenced to 16 years in prison. This happened from Denver. Colorado mother, and this story is from USA Today. Colorado mother who fatally abused her 7-year-old daughter and lied about her health to get handouts from charities worth at least $100,000 was sentenced to 16 years in prison as part of a plea deal that threw out murder charges. Judge Patricia Heron issued a sentence Wednesday after Kelly Turner pled guilty last month to child abuse, resulting in the 2017 death of the girl Olivia Gant and to charitable fraud and theft. Previous charges of first-degree murder, attempt to influence public servant, and forgery were dropped as part of an agreement with prosecutors. Turner said nothing during her virtual sentencing hearing, but wiped away tears as prosecutors played a video made by Olivia's grandfather, Lonnie Gattero, of Olivia laughing while smiling, baking a cake, dancing in a princess costume, playing doctor with her dolls, and singing songs. The truth about Olivia has caused such a deep pain that it continues to ravage me every day, said in a statement from Gattero. That was read at the hearing by a prosecutor. Gattero attended the hearing by video with a picture of his granddaughter at his side, his eyes tearing up during the proceedings. Authorities have said that Turner lied to doctors about Olivia's medical history while broadcasting her struggles to receive money and other favors from organizations like Make-A-Wish Foundation. The girl had received unnecessary surgeries and medications up until her death in Denver at a hospice care in 2017. That summer, Olivia cheerfully sang Hakuna Matata from The Lion King as she was wheeled into hospice care in Denver wearing purple pajamas. It means no worries for the last of your days, she sang while her mother filmed. The girl died less than a month later. The video put out by Turner was one of many clips highlighting the little girl's battle with disease and death, which authorities said was used by her mother to dupe doctors and call for favors and donations to help ease her daughter's pain. Authorities said Turner spent years fabricating her daughter's illness, gaining sympathy from television news stories and charitable foundations. Make-A-Wish threw a Bat Princess costume party for Olivia at a hotel that cost $11,000. The girl's cause of death was first listed as intestinal failure, but an autopsy later found no evidence of that condition. Authorities have not said what killed her, but according to the indictment, doctors went along with Turner's push to stop feeding her daughter. The amount of the theft from charity was between $100,000 and $1 million, according to prosecutors. Psychiatrists have said that Turner's behavior seems consistent with Munchausen syndrome by proxy, a psychological disorder increasingly featured in movies and television, in which parents or caregivers seek attention from the illness of their children or dependents and sometimes cause them injuries. But experts say these types of cases are not easy to detect. She brought up the syndrome on her own during an interview with investigators and denied she had it. I think at this point, that's your only hope for any sort of sympathy. Turner moved to Colorado from Texas with her 3 daughters and told doctors over the years, beginning in 2012, that Olivia was sick with numerous ailments and diseases, convincing medical professionals to perform surgeries and fill prescriptions for illnesses that she didn't have. Several doctors said that Turner was the primary source of information for Olivia's medical history. According to the indictment, investigators discovered blogs, a GoFundMe site, and news stories in which Turner described Olivia's various health conditions without medical proof, including claims that she suffered from a seizure disorder, a tumor, and a buildup of fluid in cavities deep within her brain. At Olivia's first emergency room visit, a doctor thought she appeared to be growing normally, but the next year, a surgeon at the same hospital removed part of her small intestine and inserted a feeding tube. The actions prompted a $25 million claim by Olivia's grandparents and father against a hospital system that includes Children's Hospital of Colorado, where the girl received years of treatments. They argued that the hospital failed in its duty as a mandatory reporter of child abuse. The case was resolved in August. A lawyer representing the grandparents said she could not comment further. Before Olivia was admitted to hospice care, where she died, doctors said she had only been receiving 30% of the required nutrition, according to the indictment. Throughout Turner's campaign to bring attention to her dying daughter, she sought donations to help fulfill Olivia's dreams of catching a bad guy with police and being a firefighter. A video put out by a suburban Denver municipal government shows Olivia riding on a truck, putting out a dumpster fire, and telling firefighters to stand at attention, all of which are met with a little girl's smiles and laughter despite several medical tubes poking out of her backpack. While Turner's behavior raised suspicions along the way, it was only after Olivia died in hospice care in 2017 and Turner brought one of her other two daughters to the same hospital with bone pain that doctors decided to take a closer look. The girl, 13, has not reported any additional medical problems or complaints of pain since October 2018 and is in her grandparents' custody. Turner's eldest child is an adult. God.
Holy shit.
I think
it seems to me there are some doctors in a hospital, clinics, you know. I mean, for anybody who's ever had health problems, and I've had like problems with my stomach, like they said I have IBS. And I think that's what they tell people when they don't know what else you have. It's like, here, you can have this. But getting anyone, like, you can go to the doctor 100 times and, like, my stomach's killing me. And, like, I can't imagine being able, like, I swear they don't do that much. Like, I had endometriosis. It was like a textbook case and it took a year for them to diagnose it. Yeah. So how do you get your daughter all these treatments of things that she doesn't even have? Like, it just seems to me somebody else is going along with it for what reason? I don't
know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, and these treatments and things like that, where it gets to like surgical procedures, it's like, don't we like have to do some sort of scans here and not just take this woman at her word to go,
exactly,
how are we going to handle this? How are we going to proceed? Or are we just like cutting into her and doing, well, let's see what we're fine. It just seems like that failed in every which way possible, the system as a whole. I mean, from the grandparents saying, you know, this is fucked up, this is something that's right, is not right here, to, you know, the system just going along with her, like, okay, well, whatever you say, lady. But I mean, have you ever done this when you go into the doctor? I just got a new one not that long ago, and they didn't have my medical records transferred over yet, because, of course, that's always a thing. I just sat down and he's like, okay, you know, do you need any prescriptions for anything? And I'm like, I just listed off the stuff that I get normally. And it's like, okay, write you this, write you that. Like, there's no checking. I mean, there wasn't any way to like look at that moment, I guess, you know, or wait till those come in. I don't know. But I could have fucking said anything, I think, for the most part. And like, okay, get the script. Cool. And it wasn't a bad doctor or anything like that. It wasn't a bad place. It was a very respected healthcare facility. I don't know. It seems like it is rather easy to go to a doctor and say, I have this, I have that. And they just kind of take you at your word. You know, if you said, you know, I got tested at this other hospital or something and I don't have my records. Okay. Take
you're going
to
the wrong damn doctors.
You are then the source of the information. But that's how it works half the time. If you don't have your transcripts or whatever, you just tell them what the fuck you have and say you got tested over there. And then it's like, okay, you're in. It's, I don't know. I think it obviously leads to a lot of, you know, abuse.
But I just don't get how, when they had to run tests and not found anything on this little girl.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and if she's hooked up. Now, my guess is, too, that some of the stuff the mom was doing on her own.
Yeah.
Maybe for show when she wasn't in the hospital.
Yeah.
But that is just so sick, because this poor little girl spent her short little life thinking she was sick the whole time. And she wasn't. Yeah. She could have had a wonderful little life. she'd still be alive. She could be going to school and thriving.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole Munchausen's, did that come
syndrome.
Out right?
Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
Yeah. That whole thing, like, I know it's a thing, but good Lord, you know, because you get some kind of sick pleasure out of having the attention of a sick child, not to mention stealing money from people.
It's like, okay, so we named what you did because there's been a pattern of people that do this sort of shit. It doesn't make my opinion change much of like, you probably shouldn't be on this planet anymore. It's like, what, you have nothing to offer. I'm sorry. What's the point with something like that? It's just, it's sick.
Sick. It really is.
Wow.
And thank God the other kids are not with her. It's interesting that there's a much older daughter, and that daughter was fine.
Yeah.
And then after the 7-year-old dies, then the 13-year-old, so she was older. So I wonder what it was about her raising these other two, I'm assuming successfully, and was a decent mom. At least she wasn't doing this.
Yeah.
What snapped to make her do this with her third daughter?
I don't know. The world that we're in with everybody is, and what I'm concerned of this sort of thing, just getting more and more regular, just with everybody's, especially the young, where it's like, there's just the obsession with self. There's the obsession, you know, selfies and all that. And like everything is just self-gratification all the time. And I'm not saying sexual. It's just, it's, I always got to feel good. I always got to feel good. I was attention, 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 attention. And yep. If you end up in a situation, you know, and you kind of are so obsessed with that, and you have kids at some point, and you're not getting the attention you used to, but you discovered, holy shit, these kids get me attention. And oh my God, look at the sympathy I get when they're sick. Somebody falling into that, you know, who has whatever disorder you want to call it, because of this, you know, way of life that so many live by. I don't know. It's, yeah. A nurse wanted for setting coworker on fire at hospital, found dead of gunshot wound. I'm sorry. Okay. A registered nurse wanted for beating a coworker with a wrench and setting her on fire at Hackensack University Medical Center has been found dead in South Jersey, authorities said Tuesday. Nicholas Piangio, 31, who was considered armed and dangerous, was found dead of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound about 8 a.m. Tuesday in Waterford, according to the Bergen County Prosecutor's Office. Pango of West Deptford was wanted for attempted murder, aggravated arson, aggravated assault, and weapons possession. The registered nurse attacked a 54-year-old hospital staffer in a break room early Monday before fleeing the hospital in his Jeep, according to Bergen County Prosecutor Mark Messala. The woman was in critical condition late Monday, police said. According to an affidavit of probable cause, witnesses told police Piango was not scheduled to work on the day of the attack. The witness saw him enter a hallway near the break room at about 5:15 a.m. and then heard a woman scream. The witness then observed the victim running in the hallway with Piango chasing her and striking her with what appeared to be a wrench, the affidavit states. Police later recovered a wrench from the scene. This was also there was also a charring located in the break room in the area where the victim was believed to have been sitting. Police wrote in the affidavit. Surveillance video showed Piango leaving the hospital at 5:29 a.m., according to the affidavit. There were no witnesses to the attack, and the motive was unclear. Piango was described by the hospital as a travel nurse who works with a third-party contracting agency and is hired to fill staffing shortages. Piango had been a licensed registered nurse with New Jersey since September 7, 2016. His license was valid through May 31st, according to the State Department of Consumer Affairs. He has no disciplinary records and listed in the Consumer Affairs database. This story from NJ.com. This is not a mugshot that they have of him up here, I don't believe. Unless it's an old one, because they never did catch him. But the picture, he looks fucking crazy. It's just like...
He does. I saw his picture. He looks like somebody's totally strung out.
There's something's wrong with him. I mean, it's not a normal look. Eyes don't do that. That's just, there's something you look and go, This person needs help, and they're not probably safe, you know, for themselves or others. So I don't know, but that's
my God. And he passed the test to get the job.
I know. The bar is really high these days.
And the sad thing is, I don't think they'll ever know why he did that.
No.
Because he's dead now.
Well, I wonder if he knows why he did it. Did he snap and just literally had this a rageful, you know, outburst? Was there anything to do with this human being that they attacked? Like, was there some sort of confrontation or interaction that, you know, set him off in this horrible thing?
That's what's sad, is no one will ever know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless they survive and are able to say, I think this is what happened. I ran over his kitten the other day.
Right.
And now he killed me, or almost killed me. I don't know. But it's a screwed up story. Millionaire and longtime fugitive Peter Chadwick has pled guilty to strangling and drowning wife in 2012. Chadwick took authorities to a dumpster in San Diego, where they found his wife's strangled body wrapped in a blanket. California multimillionaire and longtime fugitive pled guilty Wednesday to second-degree murder for killing his wife in 2012. Peter Chadwick, 57, had been the focus of an international manhunt for 4 years after he vanished while awaiting trial for the strangling and drowning murder of his 46-year-old wife, Q. Chu Chadwick. He was finally caught near Puebla, Mexico on August 4th, 2019, after authorities learned that he was receiving assistance from people close to his family. I just want to express that I am truly sorry, Peter said during his sentencing in Orange County Superior Court in Santa Ana, the Los Angeles Times reported. According to friends, the Chadwicks appeared to be a perfect, placid pair, married for 21 years, raising 3 sons, and a $2.5 million mansion in the Newport Beach area. While Peter worked Q-Chu, a Malaysian native affectionately known as QC, was doing a stay-at-home mom thing. And investigators said they were simmering tensions as Q-Chu discovered several affairs Peter had before she died. Prosecutors believe Peter killed his wife in their Newport Beach home on the morning of October 10, 2012, over a dispute regarding possible divorce and related financial issues. According to an Orange County District Attorney's Office news release, police were first called to the couple's home later that day when neither parent picked up two of their 3 youngest sons from their private school in Huntington Beach. At the Chadwick home, officers found an open safe in the downstairs office and a broken red vase and blood splatter from the upstairs bathroom. Things took a grim turn the following day when San Diego police received a 911 call from Peter from a payphone at a local gas station. He claimed that his house printer and that he had house painter he hired named Juan killed Q-Chu in the couple's bathroom. Police didn't buy it. In a subsequent interview, detectives noticed scratches on Peter's neck and dried blood on his hands. And he refused to answer questions about Q-Chu's death. Authorities concluded that Juan did not exist. He was arrested on October 11th in Mexico, in the border in San Diego, and charged with the murder of Q-Chu. He took authorities to a dumpster in San Diego where she was discovered wrapped in a blanket. He posted $1 million bail after 2 months in jail and surrendered his passports. He was living with his father in Santa Barbara in 2015 when he disappeared before a court hearing. Police promptly contacted the U.S. Marshals Service Pacific Southwest Regional Fugitive Task Force in hopes of locating him. After looking into the whereabouts, task force members discovered Peter had emptied his bank accounts of millions of dollars, according to the U.S. Marshals. The U.S. Marshals also learned that Peter had allegedly been reading books on how to change his identity and live off the grid. Peter's case captivated the nation's attention as police even released the true crime podcast Countdown to Capture, which authorities hoped would lead to his arrest. Before he was found, the U.S. Marshals added Peter to its 15 most wanted fugitive list and offered a $25,000 reward for any information leading to his arrest. The additional reward of $75,000 was offered from the city of Newport Beach and private donors. At his sentencing, Peter agreed to waive the time-served credits he had received while in custody. He was sentenced to 15 years to life. His attorney could not be reached for comment. 3 young boys lost their entire reality the day their mother was murdered by their father. said Orange County District Attorney Todd Spitzer in the news release. It took years of painstaking police work to track down this defendant in order to hold him accountable for the murder of his wife and the mother of his three sons. In making the decision to accept a guilty plea, we carefully considered the wishes of QC's family, especially her sons, who have already suffered the loss of not only their mom, but also of their father at such a young age, he continued. So there's that story.
And like, how did they not arrest him immediately? You know?
Yeah.
Because it seemed certainly they would have had some evidence other than, I mean, well, he said that person did it, but that's not really what happened.
Yeah.
Guess we can't prove hanging on him.
Yeah.
It just seems like some, I don't know. I'm not a detective. I don't know. But I sure do watch a lot of that shit on television.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like he should have been arrested very soon.
When you have,
that.
When you lead the authorities to the body of your dead wife and you have blood on your hands,
and
you still are somehow allowed to not be locked up in prison. Like immediately with no bail. Like what?
If
why
only did, we had more evidence.
Yeah. It's like the guy has the resources and you're going to give him a bail like for something like that. Like what the fuck is that judge thinking? Why? Like, I don't understand. There's no clear explanation of the way this shit works other than just the judge's opinion. Like there should be qualifications like to this of like, if bail is going to be offered, what it should be, what it shouldn't be. But it's just like, well, you know, we'll deal with this. And, you know, I don't know. Sometimes they're like, I'm wondering, are the judges drunk? Are they on something where they're like, nah, do this? It just, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it makes no sense. I just don't get it.
And there's no accountability for it either. That's what I don't like either. Because a lot of these appointments are for life or close to, and it's just, I don't know. It seems like any other job, if you start really fucking up, like you may be great at it at first, but 10, 20 years into it, maybe you just don't fucking care anymore and you're just doing a shit job. Some things like this, it's like, good luck getting rid of them. Even if there's like evidence showing over and over and over they're doing a horrible job, there's not really a way to like step in and say, you gotta fucking leave. I mean,
they had an episode on Dr. Phil this week. You know me and Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
But this teenage girl was raped.
Yeah.
They're at a party. They'd all been drinking and doing things they shouldn't have been doing. But she passed out. Mm-hmm. She drank way too much. And like, her friends helped her, got her on the sofa, and she passes out.
Yeah.
And wakes up to a guy raping her.
Yeah.
And his DNA was all over her, and he was found guilty. But then the same judge said, you know, he's served enough time, and let him out after, oh gosh, I can't remember how long it was. It was just a fraction of a sentence.
Yeah.
It's basically like, you know, she was doing things that she shouldn't have done either, and
He raped her
and was found guilty, and then was like basically one of those, I'm not going to ruin his life for that.
And what purpose are you serving?
Right.
Like, Jesus.
Like, you have Christ. No compassion. Like, my guess is guys like that, men like that, they were boys like that, teenagers
exactly.
like that.
I think if you're
like, well, no. I raped a girl when I was that age, and look at me, I turned out okay.
We didn't call it rape back then. We, you know, we just, you know, we're
just had sex. She was asking for it.
We were pushy. She needed it. Yeah, she wanted it. Like, it's just like, what the fuck? I think that's like kind of a tell, quite honestly, where it's like, if you're the judge that's going to let people offer shit like that, you probably did shit like that because you're not seeing how morally outrageous it is to have that sort of opinion. it just, if it's not registering with you and you're not like, oh, like the optics of this are horrible and this would be a fucking bad thing to do, I think you probably, it's because your optics are warped because you were part of it. You know, maybe not that specific case, but you've done the same sort of shit.
Makes you think.
Yeah. I can relate
to him. I don't want him to ruin his life over that.
Fully believe it. Yeah. Yeah. And it's fucked up. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of The Dark Side Of. If you like the show, hey, you know what? Keep us on the air. Become a supporter. Go to patreon.com and search Dark Side Of. Or go to darksidepod.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all of them commercial free. And press subscribe as well. Wherever you're listening to the show at right now, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or iHeart or whatever, we're everywhere. Just press that plus or subscribe so you don't miss any of the episodes. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side Of.